So as we approach God's Word this morning, our desire is to be committed to doing whatever it is that He calls for us to do. So I want to encourage us this morning, let's be good students of the Word. Let's open in a word of prayer. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to help us. God's grace is all sufficient. God's divine enablement is available to help us as we seek to learn what He seeks to teach us. So let's ask Him for His help this morning as we study His Word. Let's lift our heart, if you will, in hand to the Lord and in surrender. Say, Lord, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to receive the message that You have for me. Watch how God will custom fit the message to teach you exactly what you need today. I pray that you will be blessed as you obey. Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have to gather here this morning. Lord, our Bibles are open. And I pray that our hearts are open to receive the message of Your Word. I ask, Lord, for Your help. Father, teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to understand. Teach us to do, to be wise in putting into practice what You are calling for us to do. Father, move in our hearts, we pray. Move amongst us. Change us, O God. We truly need Your help. We need Your help to be changed more into the image of Your Son, to be changed into His likeness, so we could display that Christ likeness to the Jerusalem You've called each of us to. Lord, I thank You for each one that is here today. Thank You for our guests here. I thank You for the music. I thank You for the worship in song. Father, as we continue on, may we worship You in the way that we receive this message of Your Word. May we also worship You as how we obey the message of Your Word. Guide us now, we pray. We do ask all these things in Christ Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. We're studying through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. And we're at a passage that we're dealing specifically with marriage. Chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 is where we are focusing in. And last Sunday we introduced this message. We are studying this chapter, this section on walking worthy horizontally toward others. Just as a reminder with regards to the introduction that we looked at last week. See, we're looking at the passage, our walk in harmony in the way of Christ. We are to walk in harmony in the way of Christ. Introduction-wise, the mystery of marriage is what we focused in on last week. And just to introduce the topic of marriage. God designed marriage as the foundational institution of human society. Strong marriages undergird and strengthen the fabric of our society. Strong marriages cultivate strong families and produce productive members of society. Strong biblical marriages, they produce moral influence in society. Therefore, any attack on God's design for marriage is an attack on society itself and upon God, who is the creator of it. See, marriage is truly a great mystery. It's profound. It's challenging. It's beautiful. It's heart-wrenching. But it is beautiful. It's God's design. God designed marriage for one man and one woman to be joined together in a lifelong sacred covenant union. That's not popular today, is it? See, our worthy walk, as we noted, I want you to keep this in mind. Our worthy walk is explained by walking in harmony in the way of Christ. See, we saw how the marriage institution has been corrupted last week, which has led to our marriage influence being in crisis. Yet within the great mystery of marriage, we see that marriage is illustrated best in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thus we must commit to keeping God as the final authority of marriage, Christ as the object of marriage, and faithfulness in our obedience as a great commitment. This book, because it's God's word, it's authoritative, and we have to choose. Each of us here this morning, every single Sunday, every single time we sit under the preaching of His word, every single time we open up the word of God, we have to commit ourselves. Is this God's word? If every single thing in here is God's word, then do I have a responsibility to obey it? Who's the authority? Not me, but God. See, if we don't draw that commitment, if we don't make that commitment as we begin every single time, if we're not committed to obeying whatever God says, then we begin to cherry pick and we begin to sidestep, we begin to slant, and we begin to do a lot of different things. Spiritual gymnastics we play, bending ourselves in all types of pretzels and whatnot just to get away from obedience. So the challenge for us is that we need to rest in the authority of God's word. Will I obey what God says or will I not? With these things in mind and in practice, we consider the marital relationship. We'll see how godly wives practice willing and loving submission while godly husbands practice sacrificial and loving leadership. I'm not sure how long this is going to take us to look at just these two, the rest of this chapter. If the Lord wills, we'll get through these three verses today. And we'll dig into guys next Sunday. But I don't know how long we're going to stay talking about the husbands. This is such important information, such important truths for us to consider. Marriages are crumbling. Relationships are being corrupted and destroyed. And as a result, our influence is being just being turned useless for God. We consider the marriage relationship, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Now, again, remember, keep this in your mind. Paul is speaking about our influence in our worthy walk horizontally toward others. Starting in chapter 5, we see really the shift as we put this context in its place. We see how Paul is challenging us with our influence. As we practically live out the truths of God's words, as we walk worthy before God amongst those in our Jerusalem. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech, I beg you that you walk worthy, having a life in balance, of the vocation wherewith you are called. Your calling, what you are called to as a Christian, should line up with what you are. Your conduct, what you do as a Christian. Do you look like a believer? Do you look like a follower of Jesus Christ? You claim to be. Do you look like it? Here in Ephesians 5, verse 22 through chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul turns to specific areas that we are to walk in love and to impact those specific relationships as we walk in harmony in the way of Christ. He addresses specific relationships within our Jerusalem and what our influence should look like to those individuals. To most effectively walk in harmony, what must we do? We must walk in wisdom. We saw that in verses 15 through 17 of Ephesians 5. We need to walk in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. We saw that in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. See, walking in wisdom, we need to ask God, how can I build these redemptive relationships? How can I impact these specifically? Walking in wisdom begins by yielding in submission to the Spirit of God. It is learning to walk daily in step with the Spirit of Christ. And these are the challenges. What we're dealing with, marriage, why is marriage failing? You know, simple answer, we're just not being true to the biblical principles of Scripture. God says, walk in the Spirit. Let the Word of God fill you richly. If we do that, marriage isn't an issue. It's not. Beginning of chapter 4, we continue on. Ephesians 4, verse 2. This is how we walk worthy with all lowliness, that's humility, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See, in chapter 4, Paul calls for us to walk in unity, considering our posture in Christ. What is the posture that I need to have? What is this posture? How should I live my life? What should be some overriding themes of my life, attitudes and actions? It is a posture of humility, which is how we view ourselves. It's a posture of meekness, how we view God, being submitted to Him, and a posture of long-suffering or patience in how we view others, how we are toward others. Verse 3 of chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So with great effort, we are to pursue harmony within these specific relationships. We do this with a posture of humility, meekness, and patience, being motivated by unity. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 2, Paul says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us in a sacrifice, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. With great effort, we are to pursue harmony with these specific relationships, with an attitude of love, posture of humility, posture of meekness, posture of patience, an attitude of love, being motivated by being unified. By love, serve one another. So it's important for each of us to maintain. Now I remind us of this. I introduced this last Sunday, but I remind us of this for a very specific reason. We come to the topic of marriage and what happens. Well, we're talking about wives today. So guys, tune out. This message is all for her. Get them, right? Kids, well, I'm not married, so therefore this doesn't apply to me. For those who, their spouse has passed away, it's like, well, this doesn't appeal to me either. Well, that's not the case. See, I want to emphasize this. Every single time we come to these passages, this is what you're going to hear. I will repeat myself over and over again because we need to approach these teachings, this truth, with an attitude of humility, an attitude of meekness and long-suffering and love. If we don't approach these truths of God with what Paul is laying out for us, we will miss what God has for us. Will we not? We're looking today at how godly wives practice willing and loving submission. Trust me, this isn't my favorite topic. But you know what? This is a beautiful topic. It is special. And it's by God's design. And I want us to see this. Now, men, I want to challenge you with this. Ladies, I'll challenge you with the same exact thing next Sunday. Men, as long as your wife is being addressed, humbly consider how you can come alongside her to lovingly and humbly encourage her in her obedience to the Lord, maintaining patience with her as she learns and grows. As the wife is addressed today in this context of Scripture, you, husbands, see how you can come alongside them and encourage them and be patient with them and be humble, be meek. Be a blessing. Young people, you may not have marriage in mind. It might be a long distance away. It may be close. But the reality is, You need this. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to know what God desires of a godly marriage. You need to know it so you can pursue it. Those who are unmarried, you need this as well. Because you are in a position of influence. You are in a position to influence your grandchildren, your son and daughters-in-laws, your family. You're in a position of influence. Nobody tune out. But let's see what God says about this passage. See, although the topic of submission is not politically correct, that's an understatement, isn't it? It's necessary to point out that it's a very countercultural in today's society, which is due to misplaced authority on self instead of God. Why is submission, biblical submission, so countercultural? It's because we have taken the authority away from God and we have placed it on ourselves. That's the problem. Well, I don't want to submit. Okay. God says what we're supposed to do. We just finished off in verse 21. What does it say? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's this general rule, this understanding. All of us are to be living in submission to God in the way that we serve others. Submission, really simply, is putting the will and needs of others before me. It's loving others. And so we see here, godly wives, a godly wife practices willing and loving submission. Consider first with me the precept of submission that is commanded. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The precept, it's a command. Something that we're supposed to do, our responsibility. So he's talking specifically to wives. See, the principle of biblical submission from verse 21 is to be worked out in very specific ways. Paul starts off with the wives' submission to their own husbands. Wives, submit yourselves. Submit. This Greek word speaks of subordination, to be under obedience. It's a military term referring to rank. It's to rank oneself under in an orderly fashion. See, the whole goal of submission is order. God's order. We're going to look at that. An important key to this passage is to keep in mind the context along with its sister passage. We've already talked about the context of influence, but if we back up a few verses, we see to verse 18, we are called upon to be filled with the Spirit of God, to walk in step with the Spirit of God. We also look at Colossians 3:16, which we've looked at. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. To be Spirit-filled and word-filled are key components. They undergird our ability to be obedient to the truth of God's word here. As wives, husbands, parents, children, servants, masters, employers, employees. Godly wives, hear me on this. Godly wives, as we take this understanding with regards to being Spirit-filled and word-filled, a godly wife, she demonstrates being Spirit-filled and word-filled as she willingly and lovingly submits to her own husband as unto the Lord. So we see. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. We see this command given. There's a number of other places where the command is repeated. Let's consider with me three attitudes that are foundational to biblical submission. Three attitudes that are foundational to biblical submission. I'll start off with the first one. As we see this phrase, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves, he says to wives. See, biblical submission, there's to be an attitude of a willing attitude. A willing attitude is where we begin. Submit yourselves. Biblical submission does not refer to passivity, but intentionality. Biblical submission does not refer to just being passive, a doormat. It refers to being intentional. The submission of a godly wife is to be voluntary, not coerced. It's to be with joy, not begrudging. A godly wife is to be intentional as to how she submits to her husband. See, the husband is not to be, is not to command this submission, but the wife is to lovingly offer it willingly. Notice that this is a command to be obeyed. This is not something that a husband forces. It's simply a command that a godly woman submits to in obedience. Submission then is an act of the will and is done willingly. How can we do that? Wives, how can you do that? Notice it doesn't say anything about if your husband leads you properly. It doesn't speak to whether or not your husband is worthy of being submitted to. It just says a godly wife simply submits to her husband, her own husband, as unto the Lord. Something we willingly do. Keep that in mind. Consider the great place of influence in submission. I would encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, another passage that talks about the husbands and wives, the marital relationship. So I want to encourage us to see that as we're looking at this greater passage, the greater context of this passage in Ephesians, we're seeing the context of influence. How are you to be an influence in your Jerusalem? So I want to encourage you to see that we need to consider the great place of influence in submission. Do you want to be influential with your husband, with your children, with those in your Jerusalem? Consider what Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word won by the conversation of the wives. Now, we understand the challenge at times. It is typical to hear the phrase of a nagging wife. But the reality is that, wives, you know that your influence is not best because you keep on saying it. God tells you that your influence is best demonstrated and most effective when you stop correcting, you stop speaking, if you will, and you live. And that's a great principle for all of us. Husbands, if you have unsaved wives, stop speaking. Live. Live righteously. Be kind. Live amongst them. Love them. It's a great principle of influence. Just minister to them. Because Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. It's like Chinese water torture is what Solomon is talking about. This constant dripping, this constant nagging doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't bring anyone into submission. It hardens the soul. And that's good for all of us with regards to just relationships. Keep that in mind. How can I love this person to the degree that they will change for their better and for God's glory? Not through nagging. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the words, talking about one who you could see that this is a believer who's just not being obedient to the truth of God's word, or someone, a husband who is just unbelieving. But Peter says it's through your conversation, your lifestyle, the way that you live. And he goes on to explain this. He says, but keep this in mind, for the reason for this call to submission is for conversion. God desires that the husband would be brought under obedience to his word, and he desires to use the wife as a vessel or a model of Christ-likeness. Think about that. Wives, think about the ministry that you have. Can I encourage you? God is speaking very clearly, I trust, in these passages. He's saying, you have a profound ministry. You have an amazing ministry that through the way that you live your life, you can impact your husband and bless him beyond measure and motivate him to do good, to do right, to live for the Lord, to be a leader, to be a godly man. You have a profound ministry. But he says it's through submission. That's challenging to hear. Peter's advice for getting a new husband, isn't it? Not through divorce, but to get a new husband through him being converted or him being repentant. It goes on. He goes on. He says in verse 2, while they, the husband, beholds your chaste, your pure conversation, your lifestyle coupled with fear, speaks of a woman whose lifestyle is pure and godly. She respects her husband. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on apparel. See, Peter discourages a woman from allowing her outward appearance to be a substitute for her Christian character. Her beauty must not be merely external with braided hair, costly jewelry, and fancy clothes. Her true beauty is her chaste and godly lifestyle. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, the real you, in that which is not corruptible, it's not perishable. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Think about that. Think about that. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. See, that which is incorruptible is diminishing. The outward, it diminishes. We know that. Diminishing physical attractiveness. The emphasis should not be on fading beauty, but on lasting beauty. What's lasting beauty? The heart. The beauty of the soul. Living as a godly woman. That's true beauty. The Apostle Peter sheds light on the value that God places on a meek and quiet spirit. There is an imperishable beauty to that of a heart that is meek or gentle, as well as calm and peaceable. It's a beautiful thing to see a woman who has a meek and quiet spirit. God says that is profound. God loves that. Notice that she is to have a willing attitude. Have a willing attitude. But also notice it says to your own husband. Submit yourselves to your own husband. Notice that Paul gives this command. He directs it specifically. Wives, submit to your own husband. Here we see a loving attitude. A woman is to submit to the one that she loves, the one whom she has entered into a covenant relationship with. The implication is that of a loving relationship with the one she has committed to love. She is to lovingly submit to her own husband. Submission is another display of love, is it not? If we really consider it, it takes sacrifice and selflessness to submit in a godly way. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and they, the aged women in this context, they may teach the young women to be sober. That's evident self-control. To love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, sensible, chaste, it's pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, the goal, the priority is that a godly wife would understand the great ministry has to her husband and to her children and the great influence she has to influence the impact that she gets to have on that next generation. I truly believe that a woman can have far greater impact on our society than guys do. I really believe that. The amount of time spending with the children and raising them, to raise them in such a godly way, is to impact generations to come. commentator, he writes, to submit is to put the will of the other ahead of your will. To love is to put the needs of the other ahead of your needs. That's so true. So we understand that biblical submission that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 5, it refers to having a willing attitude and a loving attitude. But notice the last phrase in verse 22. Last phrase in verse 22, Paul says, as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What do you see here? Godly submission, biblical submission. A godly wife practices biblical submission willingly and lovingly. But she also practices submission as a way of worship. Everything in this passage, Ephesians 5, 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 33, everything in this passage, it points to Christ. The goal of biblical submission is to glorify God. The goal of marriage is to glorify God. Notice also that Paul implies an attitude of worship in the way that she is to submit to her husband. It's an action of spiritual service as unto the Lord, or as service to the Lord. Remind you again of 1 Peter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. That meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God speaks to what truly motivates a godly wife. A godly wife is motivated by what pleases God. A godly wife is motivated by what God sees as valuable. It's an act of spiritual service. She lives in the sight of God. Wives, as you live your lives, do you keep that in mind? You're living in the sight of God. You're living before God. She is meek as a broken stallion who is useful to its master because its power is under control. Think about that. A stallion, unbroken, is useless to anyone, isn't it? But when there's still power, I mean, when you think of ladies in your family, moms, your wives. I think of my mom. I think of a woman who was meek and quiet. She had a tremendously gracious attitude, a gracious spirit, but she had a gracious will, a strength. She had an inner beauty of strength and godliness that was unrivaled. Think of my own wife and all that how she's just been so godly in the way that she's been my wife through these last number of years and the health challenges and just the inner strength and seeking to just honor God in every way she can. You go through the list and you see person after person after person, and you're just like, wow, there is profound beauty in a way that a woman is before God, meek and quiet before God. See, a broken stallion is now useful to his master. There's still power. That's why biblical submission is not passive. Such a beautiful thing to see a godly woman living for the Lord, standing for truth. So too, a godly wife who is meek before God is useful to her master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one she worships. Now, there is an aspect of Sarah calling Abraham Lord, but there's a reverence, there's a respect. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, husbands, the way you love your wife, Love her to the glory of God. Wives, the way that you submit to your husband, do it to the glory of God. Children, parents, servants, masters, employers, employees, live for the glory of God. Never forget that God is infinitely wise. Please understand this. As you approach the Word of God, as you approach the Bible, always understand that God is infinitely wise and good. Don't ever forget that. All that He calls us to do is for our best and ultimately for His glory. Never forget the nature of God as you read His Word. That's why it's so great. That's why it's such an important thing for us to be reminded over and over and over again. Who is my God and what has He done for me? Be reminded of who He is. Consider verses 23 and 24. We move on from this precept of submission that is commanded to this picture of submission illustrated. This picture of submission that is illustrated in verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." In verse 22, we see that she is to be willing. Her submission is displayed in an attitude of willingness, an attitude of loving, of love, and an attitude of worship. And that carries on then into what we see here with regards to this picture of submission that is illustrated, that a godly husband is a picture of Christ's headship, His leadership. For the husband is the head of the wife. Paul clearly stated the leadership responsibility of the husband as one who is to live in submission. Guys, husbands, do you realize? Do you realize that you are to live in submission as well? The only way that your wife is going to be encouraged to live in submission to you if you are living in submission to God. We see this. The wife is the head of the wife. He's as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 11:3. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Look at, we see hierarchy. We see hierarchy. We see God the Father, God the Son, the husband. We see the wife, and it continues on. I want us to understand, this is not, biblical submission does not refer to inequality, but hierarchy. Biblical submission does not refer to inequality. It's not talking about whether or not someone's equal. It's not pointing out that a woman is less than a guy. That's not the case. And any teaching on that is wrong. Wives, we've been made one in Christ. Everything in this passage shows how marriage is a picture of the gospel. Our responsibility as married followers of Jesus Christ is to be Christ's witnesses in our marriage to our Jerusalem. Think about that. The way that you live your life, how does that look to this world? How does that encourage the gospel? We are to be displaying the gospel in our marriage to the world that we live in, the Jerusalem we live in. An inequality type of marriage, it appears abusive. Doesn't appear godly. Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:11, "For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Christ is all and in all." The reality is that we've been made one in Christ. What a beautiful reality. So I want you to understand, biblical submission does not deal, it's not a matter of inequality. It's a matter of hierarchy. There's different roles, God's designed roles. Consider that submission, it doesn't refer to ability, but it refers to God's created order. God's created order. Submission is a matter of the created order. It's God's design. Keep in mind, who is our authority? Who is our authority as we approach the Word of God? God's the authority. What does He say? It's not a cultural issue. Submission here that Paul is talking about. Too often people dismiss a wife and her role of submission as, well, that was just a cultural issue that Paul was speaking to. No, it's not a cultural issue originating in a time of woman's oppression. It's a creation issue specifically designed by God from the beginning. Submission restores the created order. Sin introduced disorder as Adam failed in his God-given responsibility of leadership, didn't he? In the biblical context where we see Eve eating of the fruit, Galatians tells us she was deceived, but her husband ate willingly. It says that in Genesis, whenever Eve ate the fruit, then she gave to her husband as if he was standing right there the whole time. He failed in his leadership. I dare say if he would have stood up and been a leader as God wanted him to be, things would have been different. See, Paul is arguing from the doctrine of creation. He makes it very clear is that God made Eve after Adam, He made Eve for Adam, and He made Eve from Adam. Consider Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Verses 21 and 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. See, God made woman for the man, made him her after the man, and he took her from man. Notice, where did he take the rib from? Where did he take the bone to form Eve? Matthew Henry speaks something along these lines, that he didn't take the bone from a head as if to lord over him. He didn't take the bone from Adam's foot as if Adam should walk all over her. He took the rib from under his arm, a place of protection. Think about that. Husbands, your wife, treat her like your ribs, if you will. Protect her. Keep your arm around her. Be a blessing to her. It hurts when you injure your ribs, doesn't it? You want to protect those. But we should be being diligent in protecting our wives, being a blessing to them, encouraging them, lifting them up, seeing how I can help her live her life, how I can encourage her to be the greatest wife she can be, the greatest woman she could be. Men, it should be our goal in life to encourage her to live and thrive and be a godly woman to the glory of God and impact her Jerusalem for Christ. Men, that's our job. That's our ministry. We see here in this verse, Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." We see how Paul explains the responsibility of the husband to sacrificially and lovingly lead his wife as pictured in the work of Christ for the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll see in verse 25. He sanctified and cleansed her and with the washing of the water by the word. We see that in verse 26. And with the desire to present her to himself a glorious church. And he nourished and cherished, providing and caring for the church. Verse 27 and 29. It's all about Jesus Christ. Marriage is to be a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Husbands and wives, does your marriage look like the gospel on display? See, we not only see this picture of submission that is illustrated in a godly husband pictured by Christ's headship, but we also see that godly wife is pictured as the church's submission. A godly wife is in her submission is a picture of the church's submission. I want to close here with this last point. And just really I pray that we would take away the beauty of God's design. The beauty of God's design. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is a call for wholehearted submission, desiring to submit to Christ as she submits to her husband. We submit, wives, you're called upon to submit to Christ as you submit to your husband. So, a question for us then, how does the church, if ladies, if you are to submit to your husband the way that the church is submit to Jesus, the question that we must ask is, how then does the church submit to Christ? He tells us, he shows us, what the church is supposed to do. All of us, as the body of Christ, what are we supposed to do? So as we consider the submission of the church to Christ, we must look at what he commanded his followers to do. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So we start off on the premise of the fact that God loves us far beyond measure. We looked at what God did for us and sending his son to die for us and displaying that tremendous love for us. He gave a new commandment, as he says in John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The way that we love, see, submission and love are just, they go hand in hand. As we as a church love Christ, as we submit ourselves, as we supremely love God and sacrificially love others, that's a life of submission, is it not? That's what we're called to as a church, to give God supreme love in the way that we sacrificially love those in our horizontal relationships. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Being spirit-filled and in submission to one another is a key to effectively influencing those specific relationships that follow. It is learning to serve them as you serve your Heavenly Father. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do everything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of dominating others and lording over them, Spirit-filled people are humble, being dominated by the Holy Spirit so as to humbly serve others. That's what we're called to, is submission. Loving submission. Romans 12:9-10, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, preferring honor for others. Husbands, do you prefer honor for your wife? I want her to be blessed. Wives, do you prefer honor for your husband? I want him to be blessed. Paul writes in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Here we see command after command after command, elevating others. It's all about others. It's all about others. And if we do this, men, if we are faithful in promoting our wife and encouraging our wife and loving her, being humble and meek and long-suffering towards her, loving her beyond measure, desiring unity, she's gonna blossom into that wife, godly wife, who loves to fulfill her role of submission as God designed. This is what God calls for us. So continue on. What does Christ call for the church? How does the church show its submission? John chapter 13. I'd encourage you to turn there. We were there not too long ago. But John chapter 13. Two passages, and we'll tie this up here. But John chapter 13. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Remember the night before he died? He comes along, he takes a towel and a bowl, and he performs the act of a servant, a very lowly servant. He rises up from supper, verse 4 says, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them where with the towel he was girded that he had around him. Verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, was set down again. He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have just done to you? You call me master, teacher, and Lord, as one in authority. And ye say, Well, for so I am. He says, If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, a pattern, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. See, God commanded the church to be submissive to Christ, really submissive to others, seeking the needs of others. And so the way that a wife is to submit to her husband is to be a blessing to him, to submit to him willingly, with worship to God, with love. This is her role of influence, impacting him, impacting her children, impacting her Jerusalem. We close with this, Philippians chapter 2. What is the example that Jesus set for us? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think that. Is Jesus equal with God? Is he fully God? Yes. But he didn't hold on to that so tightly that he wasn't willing to set aside his glory so that he could step down from heaven. He didn't hold on to that wonderful thing, his own glory. He was humbled himself. He was willing to set it aside for us so that he could honor God and what God wanted him to do, the Father wanted him to do. It's in the form of God. He thought not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He was born in a manger, a feeding trough. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He didn't just humble himself coming to this earth and becoming a baby. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He came into seeking to save those who were lost. He came to us to the greatest gift that we could ever have been given, came to meet our greatest need. That was the need of a Savior. And so when we think of submission in the context of what God calls for the church to do, it's in light of what God has done for us. That's something to worship God over, isn't it? This is the role that God has given ladies. You can say, well, you're a guy, so it's easy for you to say that. Well, just come back next Sunday and see what God says to us. Men, I want to encourage you, be humble in how you encourage your wife in her submission. Please don't make this a joke. Please encourage her, love her, minister to her. You are to lead her and love her as Christ loves the church. Now, one last little phrase. It says, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. I just need to say this before we just totally wrap this up. It says, in everything that's been abused, literally. Biblical submission is never abuse. Biblical submission is never for a woman to be a doormat and just do whatever the husband says, period, no questions asked. That is not God's way. It's not. It's not. It never was. It's never that design. We need to keep Scripture within its context. We need to keep Scripture within harmony with Scripture. God wants us to do things to His will and to His glory. God never want a wife to do something that is contrary to His will, would He? God wants you to honor Him. You will submit to your husband in the way that you submit to God. Keep your submission in line with the Word of God. Our worthy walk is explained by walking in harmony in the way of Christ. Godly wives practice willing and loving submission as an act of worship as unto the Lord. A meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God a great price. Please understand. My heart's desire is that you would be blessed far beyond measure as you obediently follow what God has called for you to do, as you do what God designed you to be. Husbands, love your wives. Encourage them, bless them. Lead them with love and sacrifice. Let's see what God's going to do as we submit to Him. We all submit to Him. As we all yield ourselves, as we all pursue godliness in our marriages. Let's see what our marriages look like tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now. Let's see how God will use us to impact our families, our extended families, our Jerusalem for His glory. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Help us, O God. Lord, this topic is not an easy one. It's not a demeaning one. And I pray each woman in here would understand the great position that you have designed for her, the great place of influence and value, the impact she is to have. Father, I pray that each one of the wives in here know how loved they are. I pray that they, their husbands, love them with great measure, without measure. Father, help us all to submit to you. Help us all to yield to you. I pray that Christ would be at the center of each of our marriages, Father, we pray. Guide us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.